Golden State Media Concepts bring you Book Review Podcast, a haven for bookworms of all ages and the widest genres, from mystery to memoirs, romance to comedy, fantasy to sci-fi. If you love to read, this is the podcast for you. It's the Golden State Media Concepts Book Review Podcast.
Hello and welcome to the GSMC Book Review Podcast, brought to you by the GSMC Podcast Network. I am your host, Sarah, and I am delighted to be with you again for another episode of the podcast. I hope you're having a wonderful week so far. We are now into August. This year's flying by. I know I keep saying it, but it really is. I can't believe we're in August already. It is back to school time for a lot of people. I have friends whose kids started back the end of July, and then I every day it seems I see more back to school pictures, first day of school pictures from friends on social media, which I love. I just love to see all those first day of school pictures. At any rate, we are here to talk about books, as always. And today I've titled this episode, It's a Mystery. I have three books that are... Okay, that's not quite true. I have two books that are mysteries and one book that is more crime slash thriller. Not exactly a mystery, but that didn't fit with my title. I was going for a theme and the theme didn't quite hold up. At any rate, three novels that are... They're similar in genre, just not quite all three are mysteries. At any rate, I'm going to start with that first one that doesn't quite fit the theme, and that book is called Shelter in Place by Nora Roberts. It is one of her standalone novels. If you're familiar with Nora Roberts, she writes, I don't know, like a machine of some sort. She puts out at least one standalone novel a year, and often one book that is part of a trilogy or part of a short series that she does. She also writes under the name of J.D. Robb, and so she puts out, those are mysteries and crime novels also. She puts out those sometimes a couple of times a year, so she is just prolific, a crazy prolific writer. I don't think I've talked about Nora Roberts on the podcast before. Maybe I have, maybe I haven't. Sometimes things start to blur together after a while. I love Nora Roberts for the simple fact that I know when I sit down, I'm going to enjoy it. I know that, you know, there might be a certain pattern that happens in her books. There might be a certain predictability about her books, but I know I'm going to get romance. I'm often going to get a little, especially in her books that aren't standalone, her trilogies or series, I'm going to get a little bit of often magic or fantasy in those books, and I am going to get a happy ending. And sometimes I just want to read a book that gives me the happily ever after, you know, and I know it's coming. I know that there's going to be hardships. I know that there's going to be struggles, but I know, dang it, that there's going to be a happily ever after. Nora Roberts is my go-to for, you know, kind of feel good. I know what's going to happen. I may find them a little bit predictable, but that's why I read these books. Because I know, because they are a little bit predictable sometimes in that I know there's going to be a happily ever after. So her newest standalone novel is called Shelter in Place. It came out May 29th of 2018, and I just got around to, I'm not that far behind, but I got around to reading it within the last month. And let me give you the description of Shelter in Place by Nora Roberts. It was a typical evening at a mall outside Portland, Maine. Three teenage friends waited for the movie to start. A boy flirted with the girl selling sunglasses. Mothers and children shopped together, and the manager at the video game store tending to the customers. Excuse me. Then the shooters arrived. The chaos and carnage lasted only 8 minutes before the killers were taken down. But for those who lived through it, the effects would last forever. In the years that followed, one would dedicate himself to a law enforcement career. Another would close herself off, trying to bury the memory of huddling in a ladies' room, hopelessly clutching her cell phone, until she finally found a way to pour her emotions into her art. But one person wasn't satisfied with the shockingly high death toll at the Down East Mall. And as the survivors slowly heal, find shelter, and rebuild, they will discover that another conspirator is laying in wait. And this time, there might be nowhere safe to hide. So that's the description. It's very timely, unfortunately, with all of the stories that we have in the news about mass shootings and things like this. This one, like many of Nora Roberts' standalone books, pretty much, I'd say almost all of her standalone books start somewhere in the past with an event, a precipitating event that then affects the rest of the book. Often that event takes up the first few chapters. It's not often like a simple prologue. It usually is more detailed than that. And then jumps ahead to when the main characters are older, usually late 20s or so. This one is a little bit different in that it does start with that event. It does start with that shooting at the Down East Mall. But instead of just being a couple of chapters, we go through much more of that before period with this book. Both of the main characters were at that shooting. They don't know each other at the time. And then we follow them as they move through the process of moving forward from that event. And so instead of having the shooting and then jumping ahead, I think it's 12 years in this case, just right away, we walk with these characters through a lot of those 12 years. So the main part of the story, you know, the current part of the story, I should say, not the main part of the story, but the current part of the story starts later than often happens in Nora Roberts' standalone novels. And I really liked that. I really liked getting to walk through some of that. And in the other books, you still get some of that intervening time, usually just in more of remembering, not exactly flashbacks, but kind of being filled in from the current portion of the book. And I really liked walking through this one. Now, this is not a mystery, as I said, because you know who the shooters are in the beginning, and then you very quickly find out who the person is that is referenced in that last paragraph of the description, the one who's not satisfied with that death count and starts to plot and actually starts murdering survivors, which is horrible. You know that from the beginning who it is. And part of that is her process, walking with her through that psychological melee, I guess, of her mind, because she's definitely got issues. She's obviously got issues. And so it's not a mystery because you know who the perpetrator is, not from the beginning, but almost from the beginning. And you walk with her and then you walk with the survivors as they are trying to figure things out. And then it becomes more of a thriller and figuring out who it is. And once they figure out who it is, trying to survive and not become part of her plot. So I really enjoyed the slight variations from Nora's normal pattern. I enjoyed the characters. I mean, this is a really hard subject matter in this day and age when it feels like every time you turn on the TV, there's another story of another incident like this. So there are definitely some trigger warnings that could be, or not could be, that need to be brought forth for a book like this. You know, if that's something that you don't want to read about, do not read this book. But I enjoyed the way she laid this one out in terms of that longer intro period of the book. It's not an intro. I'm not saying that quite right, but this not jumping to the contemporary part of the book so soon, but getting to go through the intervening years with the characters a little bit more than we sometimes do in these types of novels. I also not enjoyed, but appreciated the way she included the villain of the piece in those intervening years, and you really got to see into her mindset and know why she was doing it. So it becomes, you know, it really becomes a character study in some ways of the perpetrator and why she does what she does. And the reason she does what she does is she's a bit psychotic, but yeah, but a little bit more as to what's going through her mind when she's going through all of this. And it doesn't help you necessarily like sympathize with her, but understand a little bit more what's going on with her and how that's affecting the rest of the book. It's got some of the typical characters that often happen in a Nora Roberts book. The main character has a really great relationship with her grandmother, and her grandmother is a little bit eccentric. She always says she's a little bit psychic. So she is fun. She's an old hippie and a little bit psychic and an artist like her granddaughter. So there's always some great characters that happen in these books, and it's a romance. There's always that element as well. A lot of fun. I wouldn't consider it a beach read, although there's a beach because part of it takes place on an island, but it's a good, if you're looking for a good crime thriller to read this summer, but you don't want quite so heavy or dark, and you know everything's going to work out in the end, then Nora Roberts is the author for you in that regard. So Shelter in Place by Nora Roberts is the first in my three-part episode today. And when we come back, we're going to be talking about a new author that I just discovered called Nick Saint. So stay tuned. You're listening to the GSMC Book Review Podcast, and I'll be right back.
Still on the search of that one true love? On the limbo in this crazy world of dating, marriage, relationships? Well, listen to the Golden State Media Concepts Relationship Podcast, your one-stop podcast for everything about relationships.
Welcome back to the GSMC Book Review Podcast. We are now going to go into the mystery portion of our It's a Mystery episode. Just pretend that first segment was about a mystery, okay? It was close. It was a crime novel. Don't hold it against me. At any rate, I said before the break that this was a new author to me, and I, like maybe many of you, have a lot of, I'm signed up for a lot of author emails, a lot of those emails that you get that are talking about, you know, the newest releases, the newest, maybe they're about specific genres, maybe they're from publishers, whatever. And I'm signed up for one email that every so often sends me free books. Some of them are giveaways, and you can sign up for giveaways, and some of them are just authors who are having what's the word I'm looking for? Giveaways, not giveaways, but where they have free books. It's publicity, but that's not the word I'm looking for. My goodness, people, what is wrong with me today? You know what I'm talking about, right? Authors are trying to get, you know, their books out there for people to read. And so they will have a time where their book will be free. And the email list I am on compiles a lot of those and sends them out. And so I go through and look and see if there's anything that I am interested in getting, you know, because I love free books. I love the library. I love free books. I love shopping for books. It's just all about books, right? This book is one of those. It is called Deadly Ride by Nick Saint, and it is book one in a series called Charlene Land. I was intrigued because it is a cozy mystery, and it just looked fun. I totally judged a book by its cover on this one. I did read the description, but it was the cover that drew me in first. So it's called Deadly Ride, and the cover is kind of bright and animated. It's, how do I describe it? It's got, well, it's got two little corgis on it, so that's adorable. it's got a kind of a cartoon look to it, and there's a picture of the main character on the front, and she just looks sassy and fun. At any rate, the cover intrigued me. The author is Nick Saint. I don't think I said that. Let me give you the description of the book. Mia Rugg and her family run an amusement park in California called Charlene Land, named after her famous grandmother Charlene, the well-known songstress. They all share the same house, with things getting pretty hectic from time to time, as Mia's two sisters, Maya and Marissa, don't always see eye to eye, while Charlene, being the diva that she is, manages to get on everybody's nerves pretty much all the time. All in all, though, things are going well for the enterprising family. At least until a voice doctor is found murdered on one of the park's most popular attractions, the Haunted Ride, and Mia is forced to cooperate with local police detective Blaine Jameson to solve the crime. When Charlene's longtime arch-rival, Phoenix, accuses her of being behind the murder, things suddenly look very bleak for Charlene Land, and soon Mia and her family's future hangs in the balance. Will Charlene Land survive the sudden uproar? Will Mia and Blaine be able to work together to find the killer in spite of their differences? And will Blaine get through his first meeting with Charlene and her two corgis unscathed? Find out in Deadly Ride, the first installment in the new humorous cozy mystery series, Charlene Land. So, you know this book is not going to take itself very seriously just from that description, right? Just from that final paragraph. Spoiler alert, Blaine does survive the corgis, just in case you're wondering. So this is a mystery. It's a cozy mystery, which are always fun. Charlene Land, I've never been to Dollywood, but I'm thinking it's kind of along the lines of Dollywood, at least in terms of the fact that, you know, it's named after Charlene and she is a singer. It's an amusement park. There's information about her career and her life, etc. So, and Charlene sounds a little bit like Dolly Parton in her description. She's got a lot of big blonde hair and a rather impressive bosom, shall we say. Other than that, I don't know. Obviously, I've never met Dolly Parton, so I'm not going to speak to her character. She seems like a lot of fun. I don't know how much Charlene is actually based on Dolly Parton besides the hair and the theme park and the bosom. But at any rate, she's a very eccentric character. This is an interesting family in that they all, again, is the description says, live in the same house. It's a very large house, used to be a hotel. They all have their own separate areas, almost like apartments. So they live together, but a little bit separate. The family itself is quirky, maybe not as quirky as Charlene, but definitely quirky. And they all work together to run this amusement park until someone is found murdered on the haunted ride. And then Mia, who is the main character, is the head of security. So she ends up working with the local police detective. And it's a cozy mystery, so it's a lot of fun. There's a lot of humor. There's a lot of silliness that happens. But it's also a murder mystery. So there is, you know, an underlying element of not exactly darkness, but that heavier element. You got to solve it and find out who's behind it and what happened. But then you have this sort of chemistry happening between Blaine and Mia. You've got her sisters. They're all very close in age. I think they're probably within 4 years of each other, the sisters. And I mean, they're calling dibs. The youngest sister is calling dibs on Blaine at one point, and her family's arguing with her. No, Mia gets to call dibs on him. So just, you can see the silliness that I am talking about, right? The author, as I said, is Nick Saint, N-I-C, Nick Saint, and it turns out that this is a husband and wife writing team. So they are, I think, Nick and Nicole. Let me double check that for you. Give me a second. So, Yes, Nick Saint is the pen name for the writing couple Nick and Nicole Saint. So they have just taken, you know, the first three letters of both of their last names, which I like. It turns out they've penned 60-plus novels in the cozy mystery, cat sleuth, middle grade suspense, comedy, and romance genres. So they are, like I said, new to me, but clearly not new to the writing world in general. In fact, after I got this book, I signed up for their newsletter and I got two more free books from them in two different series. They've got several series, and one of them happens to be called Enemy of the Tates, and Tate is my married last name, so I had to read that one. I haven't read it yet, but I had to get that one just to find out. They have much more interesting names than my husband and I. They are Mark and, Charlemagne? Let me look that up. Anyway, Enemy of the Tates, it sucked me in. I had to read it. So I always wonder also, this has nothing to do with the book, but I'm curious about writing partnerships in the first place, you know, how they work for each individual partnership. What happens when you have very different ideas where the book is going to go, etc. But I really am curious about writing as a couple, as a married couple in this case. How does that affect your relationship? Or, you know, I mean, you'd either, my husband and I would either be really, really good at it or really, really terrible at it, because we tend to have almost opposite views on so many things. So we would either work really well together and our opposite views would take us in great directions and give us a really great balance, or we would just butt heads the entire time. So Enemy of the Tates is the first installment in their, I love this, Tate a Tate series of humorous cozy mysteries, and they're Mark and Cleopatra. I knew it started with a C. So I am excited to read more of their books. If I had any kind of criticism, it would be that there were times when I felt like maybe things could have been a little bit better developed in the book that I read, Deadly Ride, that, you know, sometimes you feel like things are just going faster than you expect them to, maybe a little bit easier than you expect them to, as in terms of character development or relationship development, etc. That boom, you've turned a page and you feel like you're a couple of chapters ahead in terms of that kind of development. But I'm okay with that. It's, you know, it was a lighthearted read. It was a fun read. It was a funny read. And I am looking forward to reading more from author Nick Saint. So if you are a fan of cozy mysteries, if you're looking for someone new, definitely check them out. Maybe you already know about this author or this. And that's the other thing. It's an author, but it's two authors. How do I refer to them? I'll just refer to them as them. You should definitely check them out. Check out their series. They've got, as it says, cozy mysteries, cat mysteries. You know, there's corgis in this one. There's a whole series about a cat named Max who seems to have some part in solving mysteries. So if this is your catnip, as my friend Jasmine Silvera says, then jump into this series. I'm going to take my last break, and when we come back, we'll be talking about one more mystery before wrapping things up. So stay tuned. You're listening to the GSMC Book Review Podcast, and I'll be right back.
Tired of searching the vast jungle of podcasts? Now listen close and hear this out. There's a podcast network that covers just about everything that you've been searching.
Hey!
The Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network is here. Nothing less than a podcast bliss with endless hours of podcast coverage. From news, sports, music, fashion, cooking, entertainment, fantasy, football, and so much more. So stop lurking around and go straight out to the Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network. Guaranteed to fill that podcast itch. Whatever it may be. Visit us at www.gsmcpodcast.com. Follow us on Facebook and Twitter, and download us on iTunes, SoundCloud, and Google Play.
We'll
Welcome back to the GSMC Book Review Podcast and the third installment of the It's a Mystery episode. Moving on to my final selection of the podcast, and that is called Messenger of Truth by Jacqueline Winspear. It is number four in the Maisie Dobbs series. I have talked about Maisie Dobbs before. In fact, Maisie was in my very first episode when I was so nervous. Oh my gosh. And so that was the very first episode, like I said, and it's actually recently been replayed a couple of weeks ago, so there's a couple of different places you can find it if you are interested. Maisie is a private eye in the 20s and 30s, which is unusual because there weren't many, if any, private eyes who were women in that time period. She was a nurse in World War I, and that has a large effect on her life and her actions going forward. She's a fascinating character. I love her. I haven't gotten to read as much of the series as I've wanted to, you know, with everything else, but she remains on my list, and whenever I have a spare moment, then I read the next one in the series. So I'm up to number four, which is called Messenger of Truth, and let me give you the description of that book. London, 1931. The night before an exhibition of his artwork opens at a famed Mayfair gallery, the controversial artist Nick Bassington Hope falls to his death. The police rule it an accident, but Nick's twin sister Georgina, a wartime journalist and an infamous figure in her own right, isn't convinced. When the authorities refuse to consider her theory that Nick was murdered, Georgina seeks out a fellow graduate from Girton College, Maisie Dobbs, psychologist and investigator, for help. Nick was a veteran of World War I, and before long the case leads Maisie to the desolate beaches of Dungeness in Kent and into the sinister underbelly of the city's art world. In Messenger of Truth, Maisie once again uncovers the perilous legacy of the Great War in a society struggling to recollect itself. But to solve the mystery of Nick's death, Maisie will have to keep her head as the forces behind the artist's fall come out of the shadows to silence her. So it's a mystery. The death of Nick has been ruled an accident by the police, but his twin sister just has a feeling that that's not correct, so that's why she seeks Maisie out. Maisie is interesting for a lot of reasons. I mean, you know, being a woman in this time period in an atypical career, being in a career at all, but also an atypical career. She is a single woman, which was also, you know, a very atypical at the time. She is a psychologist and investigator, so she has a different way of approaching it. A lot of it is intuition. She has kind of senses of things that help her to see the bigger picture that maybe other people might not see, but she also is very logical, very detail-oriented, etc., and so she takes on cases and investigates them in different ways than the police might investigate them. Not necessarily better or worse, just different. It's the way she approaches things, and she's very tenacious. So once she's got a case, she isn't going to give up until she figures out what is behind the case, or behind the reason the person hired her for the case. So I love Maisie as a character, but I also love the historical aspects of these books. There is a lot of consequences from World War I in the books, and there are a lot of foreshadowing then of World War II. Right now we're in 1931, so you're in that in-between period, still recovering from World War I, but Adolf Hitler is rising to power in Germany, and that is talked about in parts as people are paying attention to the news, etc. But it's also the beginnings of the Depression, which was more than just here in this country. And so it's really interesting to read about this time period in terms of London, in terms of a different country, and to see the similarities and the differences of what I know from I was a history major in college, so what I know from my studies about this time period. So for me, I love the mystery. I love the the way Maisie goes about solving the mysteries, but I also love the historical aspects of these books. And the author, Jacqueline Winspear, clearly does a lot of research down to fashion trends, because she's, you know, she's always describing the clothes of the time and the nightlife scenes. There's a lot of nightlife in this, as Maisie encounters the art world. One of the other siblings in the Bassington Hope family plays trumpet, and so she goes to a couple of clubs, which is really fun to see that through her eyes. And, you know, I'm living in a different time period than Maisie, so I have the gift of hindsight, obviously, so I know what's coming. And so to watch these characters navigate the world between these two world wars is, for me, a lot of fun. I really like the historical aspect of these books. But they're also, again, mysteries, so you can go along with Maisie to try to solve the mystery and figure out what's going on. There are always a lot more layers to the mysteries that she's hired to look into, and that's part of why people hire her, because she is a psychologist and an investigator, plus she has this very keen intuition that she uses that helps her to see patterns and things that others might miss as they go about an investigation. And so she's always wanting to know more. She's always wanting to look at those layers, peel back those layers, see what the family dynamics are, what the relationship dynamics are, try and figure out every aspect of the person or people's lives into which she is investigating, the people who are involved in the cases that she's investigating. She has an assistant named Billy, and some things happen to Billy's family in this book that really highlight the difficulties of this time. Billy's family lives in the East End of London, and I didn't know much about the East End of London until I started reading the Call the Midwife series, actually, and then I learned a lot more, and I've done some reading since. So this is another glimpse into that world in this time period. And I won't give away what happens to Billy's family, but definitely highlights some of the challenges of living in the East End during this time period with the economic downturn, etc. And it really looks at that economic downturn and how it affects it affects the people in the country, especially the working class, the working poor, but these are also men and women who were involved in the war effort. They came back maybe injured, but they came back certainly with psychological scars from what they saw, and now they are stuck in a cycle that is, you know, they can't find work, they're trying to get benefits, they're standing in lines for food and trying to find jobs, etc. So it's a really keen insight and perspective on a very specific and very interesting point in history. So for me, that's what I love about Maisie Dobbs. I also love Maisie just because she's kind of a kick butt woman. And I do worry a little bit about Maisie because she is so focused. I know she's fictional, but I do worry a little bit about her. She's so focused on her goals and her careers that she doesn't always have time for relationships. And I'm not just talking about romantic relationships, because even though everyone in this time period thinks she needs a romantic relationship, that's not the reason. I want her to be happy. I know she's fictional, but I want her to be happy with friendships and those types of relationships that will support her and buoy her and help her to navigate her own PTSD, which they didn't call it then. They called it shell shock at that point. Help her to navigate her own experiences of the war and move forward. And especially because I know what's coming. I know World War II is coming. And I know that the books move into that time period because I've seen some of the covers. And I can tell. So if you like mysteries, if you like historical fiction, if you like kick-butt women investigators, then this is definitely a series you should check out. The first book is simply called Maisie Dobbs, which is easy enough. And it's the Maisie Dobbs mystery series by Jacqueline Winspear. So I highly recommend it. And I'm looking forward to continuing to read because I have at least 10 more to read now. And she is, Jacqueline Winspear, as far as I know, is still writing. I haven't looked to see if this one is, if this number 14, which just recently came out, I didn't look to see if it says the final book in the Maisie Dobbs series. So maybe it does, but I don't think so. Anyway, that is enough for me. I am going to wrap this episode up, but I do want to say, as always, thank you for joining me, and I hope you will join me again next week when I have another author interview, but it is a mystery author. Yay, that's my segue. It's a return author to the podcast. Kelly Garrett is returning to the podcast to talk about her second book in the Detective by Day series. This one's called Hollywood Ending, and it is just brand new out. I am so excited to talk about Kelly. She is always a lot of fun to talk to, and I love the character of Dana and this series, so looking forward to that, and I hope that you will join me to talk to Kelly Garrett about Hollywood Ending, the second in the Detective by Day series. In the meantime, I would like you to stop listening to podcasts and go out there and get yourself lost in a good book. Thanks.
You've been listening to the Golden State Media Concepts Book Review Podcast, part of the Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network. You can find this show and others like it at www.gsmcpodcast.com. Download our podcast on iTunes, Stitcher, SoundCloud, and Google Play. Just type in GSMC to find all the shows from the Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network. From movies to music, from sports to entertainment, and even weird news. You can also follow us on Twitter and on Facebook. Thank you, and we hope you have enjoyed today's program.